Good evening. Well, yes, it is the end of the month again, and it rolls around so quickly. So we will have questions and answers, but always before questions and answers, we'll catch people up because of the month. And during the month, we were learning thoughts and emotions and feelings and how to control them and what they do in our life and so forth. And the month previous to that, we were studying Emmett Fox and the mental equivalent. And also, I keep telling you about this is a teaching, and it's a practical teaching. You can turn it into a religion if you wish. It's always going to be God-oriented, but this is not a church. This is a class to teach you how to live your life in a different way. So one of the things, and many of the things, in fact, that we want to learn from this class is what? We live in a mental world. This is an absolute must. Your mind does not want you to know that. But it is a mental world you live in. What does that mean? That means that your thoughts, your feelings, your viewpoints, and your opinions count. And they are going to create your reality for you. So we change that so that we realize that we do live in a mental world. And it's an interactive world. So when we're thinking about something, we're going to start to bring that thing that we're thinking about into our life. So we have to remember that. So you can go on and on about God and how wonderful God is and how mighty God is, but you have to know that God's useful. And you have to know that you can use God, and you use God by remembering that you live, move, and have your being in the mind of God. So these are the concepts that you want to change, because the outside world is convincing, and it will convince you that something else is going on. Once you realize that it's a mental world, you can then take control of your own life and your own reality, and you can manifest what you want in life. The other thing you have to start to change your beliefs, all the beliefs that you've had since childhood and been poured into you by authorities, and especially by the church itself. So in this teaching, the thing that you want to start to believe and do for yourself every day, say to yourself, all things are possible with God. You have to know that all things are possible with God. You see, you hear that saying, and you've heard it since day one, but you do not believe that. Because if you get sick, you go to a doctor. There's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. But you have to believe that all things are possible with God, that God is working through that doctor, that there is no disease that can take you. There's no disease that you can't overcome, that there is nothing. If your finances are down, if you are not in the right employment at all, you have to realize that all things are possible with God. But your mind will tell you, no, that is not true, because you don't have the education, you don't have this, you don't have that, you're ugly. And you're not going to get the job because you're ugly. You see, you have to know that all things are possible with God. Down to the very core of your being. Once you realize that all things are possible with God, then you can do anything that you want. Then you can have anything that you want. You see, but your mind, because we have a finite mind, it says, no, no, that's not. You cannot have that. You cannot do that. You always have to tell your mind to shut up and to leave you alone. You have to know that you are not your mind, that your mind is yours to use. So the whole idea of this teaching, and you see this all the time, it says change your mind, change your life. What that means is change the ideas that are going on in your mind. What are you thinking about right here and right now? What are you thinking about yourself? Do you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? Do you know that every minute of every day? When something goes wrong, does that immediately come up? Oh, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. And with God, all things are possible. Or does it come up, oh my God, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I'll never make it, this, that, and this. You're saying, the whole idea of this teaching is to learn to think the things that you, the thoughts that you want to think, and learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. So it's always going to start inside of you and what you are thinking about yourself. So if you're sitting around thinking, oh, isn't it a wonderful life and God is up in heaven, or God is here, God is there, and God is just wonderful and I'm so in love with God and this, that, and the other thing, all well and good, but it is not going to get you anywhere. It is not going to. If you sit around and say, oh, I'm a lovable person and I'm in love with myself, that's going to get you somewhere. That is going to get you somewhere. And that is what this teaching is about. It's teaching you to learn to love yourself. It's teaching you to learn to take on the qualities that you think God has. Because man is becoming God. And that's what you have to remember. And then you can change your reality. You can change your world. So it'll start with you, worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. All right, so let's know that you do matter. And you have to know that, you're saying. It doesn't matter what other people think. Remember, what other people think about you is none of your business. It's what you think about yourself that counts. So get up every morning and tell yourself how wonderful you are. Tell yourself what a wonderful life this is and what a wonderful experience you're having, you say. Then you will start having that. Get up every morning and say, this is a day of completion. Miracle shall follow miracle, and wonders shall never cease. And you will start to see that going on. Okay? All right. I'm opening it up to questions.
Okay. So what do you do if you get to a point where you're doing all these practices and affirmations and visualization and everything, and then you have a mini meltdown? It happened to me recently. And what do you do, you know, if you get into a depressed state or you feel like, oh, none of this is working? And, you know, I went through that for about a 24-hour period, and I was like, what's going on?
Before you were into this teaching, how long did you stay into that? Much longer than 24 hours.
That's true.
You see, I now have 15-minute depressions. I'll allow myself 15 minutes, which is a remarkable thing, because I used to have depressions for 15 years. You see. So you're growing, and that's what you have to realize. And you're always going to have these little nits and fleas in life, and your moods are going to come and go. But what do you know about that? I'm not my moods, I'm not my feelings, I'm not my emotions, I am not my thoughts, and I am not my mind. What am I? I'm an individual expression of God. And anything that comes into your life to go out of your life. This came to pass. So you sit in that and love yourself, and you say, I'm loving myself, and I know I'm depressed. But you see what people do? They start to get depressed and they start to hate themselves, and they get more depressed. Then they hate themselves because they're getting more depressed. Then their minds start to say, oh, you're never going to get out of this one, and this is, you're worthless and you're hopeless, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you just pull yourself down. Recognize. Become aware. You see, you're always going to have these little things. The wonderful story about the guru, a student asked him, doesn't anything ever affect you? You always seem to be absolutely serene. He says, everything affects me. I just correct it faster than you do. You see, you just correct things. Oh, I'm starting to get depressed. You were able to correct it in 24 hours. So you have to pat yourself on the back. Go back to, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. you're saying. But the world wants to tell you, oh, you're depressed. There's something wrong with being depressed. Now there's something wrong with me. You must remember there's never anything wrong with you. You're depressed. Big deal. Get over it. Get over it. Got it?
Okay.
Is law and fact the same on a spiritual level?
Say law.
Law and fact.
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 Law and fact.
F-A-C-T, like a fact?
Yeah.
Oh, heavens, no.
Well, I was rereading mental
equivalent.
And they made reference to the fact that, they said that, and I don't have to do that fully, but law is also repeatable. They have some of the same components. And I just threw it up for that.
Well, you're
difference between the two.
Between, well, when we talk about the law, we're talking about the law of mind. When we talk about the law of mind, we're talking about the law of cause and effect. Or we're talking about the law of attraction. What you think about, you're going to bring about. Whatever is going on in your mind, you're going to bring into your mind. Now, a fact, you can live in a fact, or you can live in the truth. That's always the choice that you have to make. A fact is this. At the present moment, my bank account is low. But the truth is that money is always freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus. Which one am I going to pick to live in, you see? Do you want to live in truth or do you want to live in facts? Race mind is nothing but facts and statistics all the time. Race mind is always going to be in what we call the law of averages. And this teaching teaches you to pull yourself up out of the consciousness of the law of averages into the law of cause and effect so that you realize that what you are thinking is causing something, that this actually is an interactive universe that you're living in and that you are part of that. This is the whole idea when we say, or I say, God would be incomplete without you. You see, God needs you. The universe needs you. The same way every string in a piece of tapestry is needed to make that tapestry. If you remove a string from that tapestry is no longer the same. So you have to see yourself as part of everything. Does this help? No. Yes? God? Yes. Okay.
Okay, so the last 2 minutes here, since I got separated and divorced, I've been practicing a lot of teaching and in kind of an isolation, and I'm so grateful for the miracles that happened in terms of my job and the attitude being, how can I be in love service? I'm willing, let me take it on, God with me, and take on the challenges. And as I'm ready to venture now into a personal relationship, I'm finding that a lot of the stuff, you know, it definitely appears of that, but when I'm venturing into sort of not there yet, but getting there into a personal relationship, I have a lot of the sort of the deep, and I know it's probably the core of it is I don't matter.
Yes.
And so I don't get a healthy relationship, and I don't get to be with somebody of a certain status or a certain, not only status, but somebody that's compatible with me in certain ways. And it's all these things that come back to me, and I try to bring my mind back. But then when it comes to bringing in something like that, I find it more difficult.
Yes. But it's a wonderful experience that you're having. And what is happening here is, you see, we're always looking into a mirror. And when you see that other person in front of you and you see that it's because of what you are thinking about yourself that you do not matter, you see that in the other person. This is a wonderful gift that we are given, that we're always looking into a mirror. So if you know that you're always looking into a mirror and something pops up in front of you, you have to say, aha, that is in front of me because there's something in me causing that. Now you have a choice. Do you want to keep that or do you want to change what's going on? And do you want to start saying to yourself, I am a wonderful person. I do matter. I'm lovable and deserving and worthy. And get that going on in here, and that reflection in the mirror will change, and the right and perfect person will come into your life.
And I just want to follow on the irony of it. They're saying that to me, and I'm finding ways
yes.
to kind of say, no.
That's called the hot potato. Somebody, you have a hot potato, and you say to the person, you're wonderful, and you throw them the hot potato, and they say, oh, no, you're wonderful, and they throw it back to you. So when somebody gives you a compliment, you have to sit, and you have to let that go through your mind and into your being and say, oh, my goodness, thank you for noticing. Thank you for noticing. And you have to come home then after that and say, this person said this. And it must be true. Otherwise, you're making the person out to be a liar. Now, why would you want to go out with a liar? You're beautiful. You're wonderful. You go home and you say, oh, he didn't mean that. You're calling the man a liar. So you don't want to be around a liar. So you have to say, oh, that person was absolutely right. And then you let that go in. But we're not taught to do that. See, we're taught to get rid of compliments. We're taught to move away from that. And oh, he's just trying to flatter me if he says that. I say flatter me, you know. But then take it all in and go home and analyze that and let it go down. And when your mind says, oh, he didn't really mean that, you have to correct that right away. See, we have to correct ourselves all the time. Because this mind wants to keep you from hearing what you need to know. It wants to keep you where you are because that is where it is familiar. It knows you as that, and it doesn't want you to get out of that mold you're in. But you have to be able to do that for yourself. So you have to hear that, and you have to change that. You have to do that. And you're learning to do it, you see. So keep up the good work. But think of that. When anyone's in front of you, it's a mirror. It's a mirror. Yeah. They say no man is your enemy and no man is your friend. All men are your teachers. We're just learning from each other. Okay.
So how do you do the same thing with somebody who's being negative to you?
Why would somebody be negative to you? They have their own agenda, yes. So when they're negative, you have to say, well, that's a negative person, and I'm not taking on any of that negativity, you see. And the way to do that, people, when before you leave the house, put a white light in front of you and just say, hoo-hoo, this white light keeps all negativity from coming into my being. You see? What are we always doing? What is the biggest tool that we have and we're always using?
Imagination.
Your imagination. You have to use your imagination with all these. You see? Yes.
I have found that everything that comes out of my mouth and every thought now I'm starting to track and really watch it. Down to, I love my job, and the first thing out of my boss's mouth will say, I'm really sorry about your schedule because it's lessening for the summer. I said, no, it's not. There's not a thing wrong with my schedule. My schedule is delicious. There's plenty of people in my schedule. I'm working. I'm very grateful for this job. And she'll always turn to me and say, thank you. And this summer, there has been not one lag in my paycheck.
Yes.
I'm not going to get, I'm done.
Yes.
It's over.
Yeah.
And now, even when it comes from other people, so you're in agreement that it even stops when the people say this to me.
Oh, yes.
Just like, no, it's not. No. It's perfect.
That's
it's
it.
Fine.
Yes. So you we get into agreement with people, and we think that's so nice, especially if we're out talking and so forth, and somebody says, oh, you know, I'm not feeling well, and this, that, and I go, oh, well, you know, maybe I'm not feeling well, too. And you just keep getting into agreement with these people instead of saying, oh, wait a minute, I'm feeling absolutely perfect, and you could feel perfect, too, you say. Or the economy, whatever it is, people want to lamb. Oh, isn't that horrible? No, I think that's wonderful. You just change that around. Otherwise, you get sucked right into that. And that's what's going on out there. And the more that you do this stuff, the less nonsense you say. You realize how important it is. You know, we used to sit around just chitter-chatter about any old thing, you know. Who wants to do that anymore? You don't. You realize that life's too important, you see, and your words are so powerful. You have to realize how powerful your words are. You're always going someplace and doing something. So you're doing swell too, yes.
I wasn't here for the past couple of months.
Yes,
I
mean, we noticed.
Sporadically.
We noticed.
So I missed a lot. But since she brought up the work thing, I'm a month into a new job, and it's not a job that I love, but I'm grateful to have it.
Yes.
Absolutely, I go in there saying, I love this job. I do. I mean, I'm there, and I'm like, if I start to get angry, I say, why are you getting angry? Stop that. It's whatever. But last week, I blew up at two people on separate days, like really terribly, like dismissal kind of stuff. And I completely got away with it. My boss even patted me on the back for reprimanding my immediate supervisor. And, you know, I just was like, what the hell? I mean, I really expected to be slapped on the hand. The owners actually were there for one of these eruptions, and I actually was like, I was patted on the back. Because I was actually, what I was doing was trying to do my job correctly. But still, I mean, I was screaming and using expletives, and it was not pretty, and I was actually quite embarrassed for myself, but I got away with it.
Yeah.
And, I don't know how I feel about that. I have mixed emotions. Like, I feel like I should have had some sort of firm talking to, but I didn't. In fact, I was almost commended for doing what I did.
All right. So that's all well and good, and this will happen out there. But now you see you come to the point where you have to correct your own self. And you know that you made this error. So you forgive yourself for making the error, and you say, ha, but I'm not going to do this again, and I'm going to learn a different way to approach life. You see, you have to train yourself with all this. Oh, I used to be able to explode all over the place, and I would always get away with it because I'm very good when I explode, you know. But I said, this isn't the person I want to be. Whether they pat you on the back or they don't. Because they pat you on the back, you think, oh, now I can explode even more and so forth. No. You say to yourself, oh, I'm growing me. And I want to grow into this type of person. I don't want to grow into that type of person. That's all you do. And then you love yourself and you forgive yourself and you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And you say to yourself, look what growth. Look what growth I'm having. And you grow yourself. We're making ourselves all the time. That's what we do. And I tell that story all the time about it. In this town, you ought to know, isn't it somebody remaking themselves all the time? Here in Hollywood, somebody, they just remade themselves. They mean, remake yourself and make yourself what you want to be, you see? The world would love you to explode. The world wants you to be a mean person. That backs up them. You see, now those owners and so forth who patted you on the back probably go home and scream and yell at their wife.
Well, I will say that that day, the second eruption, I said to myself, I forgive myself right now for this because it was pretty terrible.
Yes.
Like, I really,
yes.
I was, it was, when I erupt, it's bad too. Like, it's bad.
Yeah.
You don't want to be around me. And, you know, this guy basically was like tail between his legs because I was so violent with my words. And he couldn't deal with it. And he really is my supervisor, but I will not allow him to treat me in a certain way.
Right.
And anyway, I did. I forgave myself right away, and I apologized also to him. Not right away, but a few hours later, I really did apologize, which I knew I had to do as well. I needed another apology, which I wasn't able to do. But anyway, yeah. I mean, I used those, you know, people do make mistakes. I made a mistake, but it was strange that I got away with them, and I really did get away with them.
Yes.
And
you're going to get them. The world will let you get away with things. But that's the world and people letting you get away with it. You must not allow yourself to get away with things. You have to be honest with yourself. It's the whole idea of know thyself, you see. And you know what you can get away with and what you can't. And do you want to, you see? Who do you want to be? What kind of a human being do you want to be? You're the one that's deciding that all the time, you see.
I
I'm not exactly known as being timid or passive, but I have an experience in the last month on another business that I'm going into, in which this woman kept stepping on my toes. And everyone around me, seeing what she was doing, would say to me, why are you being so passive with it and telling me off? But in my heart and soul, I knew that God will step in and do the right thing, and the right people will come forward. And this lady who is extremely passive-aggressive, very cunning, was really doing her number. And when I made a decision to do the stay passive, which is very new for me, because if I have something that I always say, if someone says I've said it, I will say it to you directly. I don't, you know, go around things. And it gave me a newfound freedom of the way of looking at things, because I would have nipped it right then and there, and I didn't choose to do that. Yeah. And I guess my question is, how long do you allow a bad behavior to go on around you before you say something? You know, and I wasn't coming from self-defeat.
No.
I knew what you were.
Yes. There are going to be bad things going on around you. And how long do you put up with it? You put up with it until you change it. And how do you change it? By going within and seeing it differently. And loving those people, blessing those people, and releasing those people. And saying, a whole new and different world is out there, you see. We change ourselves. And when we change ourselves, the people and the situation that we're in changes. You see. So, go back to the idea of loving yourself and knowing that you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Maintain that. And maintain it for the other people. The situation will change. And the people will change. You see. You just can't stand up to it.
That was the experience, because we're in the same similar situation, and of course I called the other person, and then that message you leave, and then you get a choice of extending the message or deleting, you know, and I hit 3 and deleted and go, no, I'm not going there. And I said, I acted as if this situation is perfect, everything will work itself out, and that's exactly what I did, and it did work itself out.
Yes.
I put it in the hands of God. I said, okay, I'm just going to change it here. It's going to be great. You take it and speak through me, because if given a chance to speak this, what I want to say, I'll just go ghetto on this lady. And I stopped and then boom, deleted, started over. Looking forward to seeing you, la 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 la, da 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 da. And it did take care of itself, because I transformed it here, because I also have a temper that could rearrange the room and a mouth. So I totally did thought about what you said. Change your mind. Don't go there.
Yes.
And it worked.
Yes. The saying is this. There's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. And you see, you can go through that life that you used to have. And everyone says, oh, that's life and that's normal and so forth. But once you get into this teaching, you realize, oh, there's a different way to go through life. If I take this situation, and if I love this situation, and I love myself and the people in it and all, the situation has to change. And then she dropped it into God, you see. Whenever you have a burden of any type, negativity, a burden of lack, limitation, any of that stuff, you don't have to carry that burden. You release that burden. You throw that burden into the mind of God. And you release yourself from that. When you throw the burden into the mind of God immediately dissolves that. You see. But you think you have to carry. Remember, it was the master teacher, Jesus said, my burden is light. His burden is light because he threw it into what we call the mind of God. And God dissolved it. Don't carry those burdens. If you have a burden of lack, cast that burden of lack
into the mind of God and realize that you have released it so that now you can move into the land of plenty.
I just wanted a quick experience that I had this week, last weekend, flying to South Dakota. Got to the Denver Air Force on the ground and stuck on the plane for an hour and a half because somebody else was looking at it as well. And everybody in the plane is enraged and they're talking about buying into the race mind. And I just sat there and I went in and just did exactly what you're saying. And I just started to God is all there is, you know, the movement. And I got very quiet. And I mean, everything did resolve itself. It took a while, but not to buy in to all these crazy people who were, you know, missing their plane. And it looked like it was a mess. But being able to not buy into that, I really am grateful for getting this teaching in bits and pieces and putting it to work. So
you're always going to be the cause onto your own experience. What does that mean? If you're sitting in the airport and everyone else is bitching and complaining, you can join them. Or you don't have to. You can be the cause onto your own experience. And you can sit there and go within and cause something else to happen. You see. Don't judge by appearances. There's nothing going on the outside of life, people. Yes.
I had sort of an experience that day that kind of true over to God mentioned where there's been something that's really deeply and eating away at me, and a powerlessness and helplessness and keeping me emotionally stuck with my husband. And it's because, to summarize, he's been overly generous in some ways in helping me financially until I found out. And he's been really fair about it. But on the other hand, there's just been sound hanging over me that I know it's sort of a deferral. And it's keeping me stuck emotionally. And I'm afraid of his reaction if I bring it up, in that either he's going to demand that I pay it then, or he won't answer me and will leave things unresolved. And that's the way I operate for 9 years, which that doesn't work for me. So I'm recovering from total mind games on Saturday morning, where I reached a limit of I can't live in the health business and the power of this. I need to turn the results over to God. So I sat on it, I thought about it, and I sent an email, sort of a love and service email. I really appreciate the help you've been giving me. Something changed, whatever. I'm open to suggestions on how you want to resolve this. And I just said, it's going to be resolved with God's consent. If the end result is I'm going to owe a ton of money for the price I needed to pay to take back the I Matter and I Have Power, then so be it. If that's not the way it's going to happen, great. And that's what I made the choice to do. And haven't heard a word back, as is typical. But I needed to turn the results over.
Let's get rid of the word typical. You see. That's the way he used to respond. That's not the way he's going to respond now. So you're going to sit and love him and bless him. And you're going to see the outcome that you want. You must always see the outcome that you want. You must always see the journey's end. If you want to make a demonstration, you must see the journey's end. Why is that? Because everything is already done in mind. So you always start at the journey's end. Okay? So see the journey's end. And see it the way you want it. You see? And let that resolve. The other thing is, give up any idea that money is any issue in this resolving this, or that money is any way entangled with your worthiness. Money is just money, my dear. Don't put any weight on that money. I don't care how much he gave you, it means nothing. You see? It only means what you put on it, the weight you put on it.
And that's what he that thought that I suggest
yes.
that
right.
away my power and that.
All right. So here's a suggestion. You sit and see that money as weightless. You're putting no weight on it whatsoever. Now, if something is weightless, what happens to it? It rises up and goes away. But if you put weight on it, it's going to stay with you. Put no weight on it, it will go away. It will be resolved wonderfully. You wait and see. I'll hold that as the journey's end. Question.
Okay, for the last 2 weeks, I have been feeling really itchy. To the point where I kind of like actually physically hit somebody. And so finally,
hit her.
My shoulder starts to act up. I go over to Louise's, I get my book, I look down, it says, anger. I feel a feeling of wanting to hit somebody.
Oh.
And I said, oh my gosh, so with a little bit of medical background, how do I look up arthritis? And in there it says, you know, about letting the change come. Paleocrisitis is saying letting the flow, realizing that change is you're always giving a divine direction. So I sat myself down and did a treatment on my shoulder. And as a result, yes, my shoulder was good. Okay. But the question that I, the realization that I had is I'm about to make some type of change. Is this the norm when you either have a paradigm shift or just a shift that you will can respond? Because it's uneasy if the body, the mind, the spirit is changing, going to take me in a direction that I really don't know. Is that what's occurring here?
That could be that's what's occurring here. But let's you clear up some things. First of all, the body has no causation of its own. If the body had causation of its own, your legs would get up and walk away. So, all things are mental. We live in a mental world. Now, it has to outpicture itself somewhere. So it outpictures itself in your arm. It outpictures yourself as some disease and so forth, you see. So once you realize that, you go to your mind and you correct your thinking. The rest of it will correct. And yes, many times when you are ready to move, a crisis is going to come. Yes. Why is that? The mind hates change. The mind wants to keep you where you are. So it comes up with all kinds of things. Usually people get sick because the mind does not want you to change. So you have to look at that. And you say, just again, the same way with her depression, you say, look what's going on. Become aware of what's going on inside of you. Bring your mind to your body and see what is going on inside of me. And then realize that you are causing that by your thinking and start to think differently, you see. Okay?
Why is our mind so constantly?
Because you've never taken control of it. Once you take control of it, it won't do that. Remember, it's like the dog and the little puppy. It's going to puddle and poop all over you till your house break it. Your mind is going to do the same thing. We were given these wonderful instruments called the mind, but we were not given instructions on how to run them. So we run our minds by imitation, by what our parents did, by what's going on the outside world. And we see other people blowing up. You say, so now we blow up, and we're justified, the mind will justify that because of this, that, and the other thing. Your depression can be justified. Everything the mind will justify for you. You have to become a witness to your own thinking. What does that mean? That means you have to be able to stand outside of yourself and see what's going on. You do that all the time, by the way, and you don't know that. So let's look at it this way. You have on your computer screen, you can type anything you want on that computer screen, right? And you can delete anything that you want on that computer screen. When you get what you want on that computer screen, you can press print. But you see, you press print all the time with your mind. Every thought that comes through your mind, you press print. Why don't you use the delete button? First of all, when you're thinking about anything and you're in any type of situation, take your mind and put it out here as a computer screen and watch all these crazy thoughts going across there and realize, oh, they're just thoughts. Those thoughts are not me. Thoughts are only thoughts when you start to use them for something. Otherwise, it's just a train of garbage going across there most of the time. But every thought that comes through, because you think you're so important and your mind thinks it's so important, if you thought this thought, you think, oh, it must be important. I just thought that. Most of the things you think are not important at all, you know. They're just a bunch of goo going through there. So you come to the point where you say, well, I don't like that thought, delete it. I don't like that thought, delete it. Till you get to the thought that you want. Here's the example. If somebody does something wrong to you, you can hate the person right away and want to kill the rotten son of a gun, right? Okay, that's a thought. That's a wonderful thought. Oh, yes, I can do that. But you have to start loving, and you have to keep doing, changing your thoughts to your over here. Now you look at that situation, you love that person. But you don't. You immediately print out everything in your mind. Don't do that. They're just thoughts. So put them on a screen and look at them. Do I want this thought? Only allow thoughts into your mind that heal, bless, and prosper you. And how do you do that? Put a sentinel there. And know that that sentinel doesn't let any thought come into your mind that doesn't heal you, bless you, and prosper you. You see? Do that. I have two food dogs at home that sit by my bed. I use my two food dogs. They don't let anything come in. You see? They just don't let anything come in that to harm me. So if you want to put food dogs up there, do whatever you want. I don't care what you use, but you have to use something. You see, you have to learn how to use your mind, and the thing that you use is your imagination, and to be able to do that. To be able to do that. The mind, when you first are on this plane of action, is completely blank. And it just keeps absorbing and absorbing everything that goes on around it. And then it starts to make its own conclusions. I have told you this before, that most people, 99% of the people, you have what's going on inside of you is a map that you have made. And you have come to conclusions by the age of 5 of what the world is and who you are. That's why we always say we're talking to a 5-year-old. If you ever want to get anything from anyone, look at them and know that they're 5 years old and start talking to them like a 5-year-old, and you'll get anything you want from that person. Because that's what's going on inside of us. We're only 5 years old. We have not grown up emotionally. So here you have a little 5-year-old that hasn't grown emotionally, hasn't grown physically, and hasn't grown spiritually, and hasn't grown mentally. And that little 5-year-old says, ha ha, I know exactly who I am. I know how the world works. I know who I'm going to marry. I know what kind of money. I know this, that, and the other thing. Now, that's set. Now you're 50-some years old, and you're letting a 5-year-old run your life. So it's this thing. If I gave you a map of Los Angeles that was 100 years old, could you find your way around town? No. So you're using a map that is outdated, and you have to change the map that you're using. That's as simple as it gets and as easy as it gets. Just remember that you're only 5 years old, and then start changing all those things that you saw and thought of. You're saying, you decided, you watched your parents argue. You watched your parents worry about money. Now, You don't have a prosperity consciousness. Now you think money is scarce. Now you think this and the other. You learned that when you were this big. Now you know you can change that. And you start to change that. Now I forget who asked the question. No. Questions?
What does it mean to create a miracle?
Well, miracles are going on all the time. A miracle is just a shift in consciousness. And you can do a miracle anytime that you want. Miracles are everywhere. And that's what you have to... People think that a miracle is something great big. And miracles can be great big. And people think that miracles are scarce. That you may have one in your lifetime or you may not. That's why earlier I said, get up every morning and say, this is the day of completion. Miracle shall follow miracle, and wonder shall never cease. Know that there's a miracle going on. I look out my window every morning. I see beautiful flowers. I see morning glories. I look right out there and say, oh my goodness, isn't that a miracle? Isn't that a miracle? I don't know how to make a morning glory. Do you? Now I sit in wonderment, and I say, oh, my, isn't that wonderful? That's a wonderment to me. I would like to be able to make a morning glory. You see? You have to be able to experience this thing that we call God through this type of processing. By knowing that you see God everywhere. You see? That God is everywhere. And it's always there helping you. Helping you find something. Helping you do anything. You have to start to know that. And as soon as you know that, it starts happening for you. There's a saying, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. So learn to draw near to God. Learn to see God in the morning glory. I'm growing zinnias right now, and they're absolutely fascinating. You know, so I see wonder all the time. But you have to be able to see that and know that. It's a wonderful world we live in. And there's beautiful things going on all the time. Don't take all that stuff for granted. Look around and see all the wonderful things that are going on.
How much of it are you creating, and how much of it is happening?
Ah, well, you're creating everything. Everything is, but I had a friend, Alice Toomey, and she put it to me this way. Nothing is happening to you, Dallas. You are the happening. So when you look around and you say all this stuff is happening, you have to realize that you are creating that. And you're participating in other people's creations. When I talk about race mind, it's simply because that's a collective consciousness that's creating things. And they have decided to create things collectively. And we fall for that all the time. But you can learn to think anything that you want to think. Remember, whose universe do you want to live in? Yours or somebody else's?
Okay. So, the plane is late.
Yes.
How much of that did she create?
Ah, she could have created the whole thing. You see, now I would take full responsibility for doing that. You see, I'd say, oh, look what I did now. Now I created this plane being late. Now, if I could, because you were scared to death to go home.
I just told her. I said, you had trepidations about going home to see.
Yeah. Sure, and that just postponed it a little bit for you.
So how do you put your life in front of you?
Well, as soon as she put it in front of her, and then she decided to slow down and go inside and see what was going on, she may not have come to the conclusion that she caused that, but she certainly changed the way she was feeling. And she changed, and when she changed the way she was feeling and so forth, I'm sure the plane took off soon after that.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that I created that. Thank you.
Yes. So you have to realize that you create everything. Remember, anything good that happens within 100 miles of me, I claim. I created that.
Last question, because I'm having some difficulty, not so much with myself, but with that, you know, and, you know, it's, I'm doing a lot of work, you know, this work,
and she seems to not be interested in it, and she's running into just problem after problem after problem, and I don't know what to do. I don't know
can't
how to
do
help.
Anything.
I feel her suffering. And
right. All right. If they don't have eyes to see and they don't have ears to hear, there's nothing that you can do. The only thing that you can do is sit and not try to change her, but love her. Not try to change her. Love her. You can't change anybody. You can only change yourself. But if you sit and hold her in love, you will be surprised what will happen. This happens in every situation. I told you the story about the family who had their son with off, oh, surely getting in and out of jail and getting little, all kinds of crazies. What can we do? I said, sit and love him. They took my advice and they sat and they just kept loving him. Today, he has a wonderful job in computers and stuff and has turned his life completely around. Love changes everything. Love is the answer to everything. Love is the only thing there is. Anything outside of love is an illusion. Anything that you see outside of love is an illusion that your mind is making up because of this thing that we call separation. Learn, just see her in a completely different way. Because you're saying, oh, things are going wrong for her. Now you have to know how powerful your word is. You see. We say, oh, they're horrible people. Well, they're going to remain horrible because you're creating that. You see? So create your wife the way you want her. But love, 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 love. And the whole situation will change.
I had a new city this weekend. I have a 15-year-old grandson. My oldest daughter is a workaholic, and calls me Nemo. Nemo, you're my oldest best friend. And he said, I need to talk to you. He says, my mom doesn't understand the rules of parenting out of the mouths of babies. And he says, rule number one is you never lie to me. He went on to about 89 rules. And I kept saying to myself, God, put the right words into my mouth so that I know how to answer him without degrading his mother and with love. And it was very hard. It was very hard because I wanted to say, yeah, she's done this to me, blah, blah, blah. And I kept it in love. And he wound up on my doorstep the next day. And I continued to keep it in love. And I went, and I don't know if this was right, but this is what I did do. The next morning he got up and came to my bedroom and I said, well, we have a rule in this house. Everybody cuddles for at least 15 minutes until they're 76 years old and then they don't cuddle anymore. So he came in and I held him and I cuddled him and broke his hair and all that sort of thing. And how do I keep myself? I can't talk to my daughter because she can't hear. What do I do? I guess I do nothing. That's a reasonable question, right?
Yes. You love your daughter.
Right.
And you just keep loving her until she can hear. Until she can hear. So here again, you're creating something because, yes, the experience that you've always had, the same way with Amy there at the end, is I can't talk to my daughter, she doesn't hear. Well, you're creating that, and that's true, but it's true because you're creating it. So now you should say, oh, I love my daughter, she hears everything I say. You see, and you change that. You see, it always lives up. Your mind is always going to prove what you're saying. It has to prove what you're saying. And we create these things and we think that's outside of me. And that, but it's true, my daughter doesn't listen. That's absolutely true. But you feel wonderless, and you have to start saying, my daughter hears everything I say. Now you're creating a new thing, you see. Boils down to, again, don't judge by these appearances. Don't judge by what's going on the outside of life, what's out there. When you see that, it's a reflection. Oh, I don't like what's going on, so I have to change it in here. Then that out there changes. Winding up here. So I hope everyone that did these questions and answers helps everyone. We all have these same questions, by the way. Why is that? Because there's only one mind. There's only the mind of God. And we're all using that mind. So you learn to use that. And when you say, let God speak through me, that's the only thing that can speak through you. When you open your mouth, you have to know that this is the mouth of God. You see, God only has your mouth. God doesn't have a mouth of its own. So you have to know that your words and your thoughts are always going out to heal, bless, and prosper other people. You see, very powerful, your words. I have a card. This is about the soul. The soul is the creative medium of spirit, the subjective side of life, the mirror of mind, for it reflects the forms of thought which are given it. Man's soul life recreates the soul life of the universe. Soul is subjective because it takes the thought of conscious mind and acts upon it. Its nature is subjective, and it cannot analyze or reject. It only carries out the orders given it, infinite in its power and ability to do, but not knowing that it does. Spirit can do for you what you cannot do. It can find your right place and put you in it. Next month, we're going to be studying the alpha state, which is going to be your soul, or your subconscious mind. That is the servant that you have, that you brought to this plane of action, and you're not using it. You must learn to use it. It will bring into your life what you want. Now, also, in the coming months, I'm going to give you one little saying to work on in your minds to change your belief about the world itself and the reality that you think that you are living into. The reality that we are living in at the present moment is too old. It's 2,000 years too old. And the one recent one that we're living in is at least 300 years old. And we're also still living in Newtonian physics. We have to give Newtonian physics up. It works, but only to a point. We're not going to throw out the baby with the bathwater, but we are going to add to it. So in the coming weeks, months, every week, I will give you something to contemplate on, or meditate if you wish, to think about, so that you can start to change your belief system of the reality that you're living in. And this week's is, experience shows that the focus of our attention changes reality itself and suggests that we live in an interactive universe. The focus of your intention changes reality itself. You can change your reality. You can change your reality with your daughter. You can change your reality at work by putting your focus on the right thing. It's done with focus.
Did you say attention or intention?
Attention. Okay. Experiments. Scientific experiments. Remember, this is a scientific teaching. Experiments show that the focus of our attention changes the reality itself and suggests that we live in an interactive universe. What does that mean? This is quantum physics, people. If you look at quantum physics, if you decide that you want it to be a particle, it will be a particle. If you want it to be a wave, it will be a wave. And it's done with your focus of attention. And if it happens on that lower level of reality, it happens throughout all realities. So it's your focus, the attention that you give something will change it. Love your wife and it will change. Okay? So, life is wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.